One, two, three, four. I'm playing the ukulele too. I just messed up. Ben's really mad at me. I can't do the F yet.
Spoils of Akron, the spoils of Akron podcast.
So.
Who's that third voice?
That was awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Spoils of Akron podcast. My name is Ryan Dyke.
And I am Ben Arrington, and we are joined in the studio with...
Shane Stahl.
Comedian Shane Stahl, as I like to call him.
And this is a podcast about the art, culture, and the eccentric residents of Rubber City. Shane, would you consider yourself an eccentric resident of Rubber City?
Sure. I think I'm one of... probably 60 gay people in Akron, and we all know each other. It's very incestuous.
It's like a little clique.
It is.
Really?
Only 60?
I mean, I'm
that
sure
that seems really low.
There's probably more, but I mean, we all know each other. It's scary.
Now, I have one time accidentally gone to a gay bar on total accident. I did not know it was a gay bar.
By yourself?
No, this was what was happening. A bunch of my improv
friends,
we were meeting at the Square Bar.
Okay.
And I had just come from Phantom of the Soap Opera practice. I was in tiny, skinny, tan pants, big shoes, a red leather Michael Jackson jacket, and like a big blue scarf. Do you remember my character I played in that show was my ambiguously gay Hollywood starlet character?
I never realized he was ambiguously gay.
Well, I played it like that because that's what it said in the script. So I show up at Square Bar wearing this, just getting out of practice, not realizing, and I look around and go, I fit right in.
Yes, you do.
Yes.
My parents were once the youth leaders at their church that they went to.
Okay.
And they took the youth group to Cedar Point on like gay day. And so like everyone who went who was gay was supposed to wear like a white t-shirt.
Oh no.
And I could be like completely making this up, but I think like the matching shirts for the youth group
was white.
They were white.
Oh gosh. That's hilarious. There's a gay day at Cedar Point?
Or
is it unofficial?
No, there's a real gay day.
Do they call it that, or are they more PC about it?
No, it's just gay day.
Really?
Yeah, they do it at Disney World, too.
It reminds me of the episode of Community where Pierce threw a gay bash.
Yes.
Do you watch Community?
I haven't watched it since it moved to Yahoo.
Oh, yeah. It's not as good. But I'm still watching it and enjoying it.
I would have thought they would have called it something other than Gay Day. That just seems very...
Pride Day.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, like on the nose.
It really does. Like, I don't know. I would have thought they would have called it... I don't know.
Use the alphabet soup. Like LGBTQIA.
Yeah, like that. Like that. Because some people use gay in a slander. They use it in a negative way. And that Cedar Point uses it, like, in the title of the event.
Well, I heard that, like, the word homosexual is becoming more pejorative. I don't know.
I'm the expert, apparently.
Yeah,
I don't know.
As the only gay man in the room, yes, you are going to be the expert.
In this room, sure. I don't know. It's
been adopted by, like, Southern Baptists as, like, them homosexuals. And
I guess that's true.
Yeah. I mean, that's all Ted Cruz talks about.
Yeah.
The homosexual agenda and how we're going to force mandatory gay marriage on people. He said that yesterday.
Did he really?
Yeah.
That is so ridiculous.
Do you think does he have a Twitter page? I'm guessing he has a Twitter page.
Yeah.
Do you think 50% of the people that follow him are straight in the... Or like 50% are gay? Do you think it's 90 are gay and 10% are straight?
Cruz?
Like, yeah.
I don't know that a lot of gay people follow him.
To hear all the things that he says.
I think there's a lot of people who follow him just for entertainment.
That's what I mean. It's more ironic to follow him.
I'm sure that's it because you can just retweet his crazy stuff. And then comment on it. I've gone on rants on Ted Cruz's Facebook page, and then you just pick out the comments, and I respond to them, and I get banned from those pages, and I'm so surprised as to why.
Welcome, Shane Stahl, the only guy that's been banned from Ted Cruz message boards in this room.
Yay!
So before I called you comedian Shane Stahl, yes. Would you prefer to go, you know, some people like comedian Jerry Seinfeld, not actor Sari, what? Jerry Seinfeld.
Sherry Seinfeld.
I know, Sherry Seinfeld. What would you, like, if someone were to ask me what I would want to be, uh-huh. Whether it be musician, improv, comedian, podcaster, it would probably be musician.
Okay.
How do you feel about that? Because you also do theater also.
Yeah. I don't think I have a preference, really. I do both. I don't know. I never thought about it. I never thought about that either.
No, like on my Twitter page, it has all those on there.
Oh yeah, people do that on their Twitter pages. Yeah. They'll list
on my all Twitter of them. Page. I think it says drummer, kickboxer, podcaster, improv comedian, and Batman lover.
Mine just says red hoodie jeans.
Mine says 31 fatty in Ohio.
So wait, how did... Okay, let's explain, like, where Ooh. Shane came from.
Yeah.
How did we meet Shane?
So, that event that we talked about a long time ago, and that's coming up this Friday, which is tomorrow night, which
was last
weekend. I hope
weekend.
You guys had a great time at it if you're listening to this podcast. I hosted I emceed the Electric Pressure Cooker last month, and that's where I met Shane. He yes. was my third or fourth act... And he killed it. He was hilarious.
Oh, man. So funny.
Thanks. Yeah. And there was like three or four other comedians and a bunch of them. I would ask people like,
and they were
the
just
night,
such a bore.
Oh, I would. No. I'm just kidding. I asked a bunch of people like, who was your favorite comedians or who stood out? And a lot of people said Shane because they really liked
nice.
You. They really liked your style. Now, explain to us, how long have you been doing comedy?
Not a terribly long time. Maybe about 3 years.
Okay.
So not long, but I went to a comedy club about 3 years ago, and I happened to go on amateur night, like open mic night.
Really?
And I was there with a couple friends, and we were watching, and we were sitting there, and I was just like, these people aren't good.
This seems like, I can do this.
Right, and I was like, I know I'm funnier than at least 75% of these people. So I entered the amateur contest. They have an amateur contest
on that
like,
same night.
The next week.
Okay.
You have to like call and get on
register.
The list. Yeah. So I entered the contest. They do it like for a 4 month period, three times a year, and I came in third.
Wow.
So,
now, it was your first time ever performing.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
Where was this at? Is this local?
Yeah, it was at Funny Stop.
Oh, up in the Falls on
yeah,
State Road,
next to Red Fox.
I yes. know someone who did. I went to church with somebody who did comedy there once too.
Oh, okay.
For like an amateur night, and
he won. Do you know Julie Holiday?
Yeah, I know. I don't know her well, but I know who she is.
She's in my improv troupe.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes, I know she's in that. Yeah,
she's my improv girlfriend.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's precious.
So you started at the Funny Stop,
uh-huh.
and then after you won third place, what did you do after that? Did you think? You know, let's make a go of this. Like, or was it, let's just do this for fun? Or what mindset did you have after that? Like, I'm going to make this a living, or we'll just see where it goes from here?
It was kind of, let's just see where it goes.
Okay.
It's a hard life.
Yes.
If you make it a living, it's a lot of travel. It's your own travel. So you're in your car, you know, racking up miles. You don't get paid a lot. You know, going from like Ohio to New York to Illinois, you know, in the course of 3 days mm-hmm. sometimes. I also at the time had a job where I was working really, really early mornings.
Okay.
And the sort of PC thing to do, at least the way that it was explained to me and how I think it should be done, is if you're going to go up, then the polite thing to do, the right thing to do, is to stay through everybody's set because you kind of look like a jerk if you go up and then you just leave.
Yeah.
So by the time everybody finishes and they're all done, it's close to 11:30, midnight, sometimes past midnight, and to be working a job where I had to be up at 4:30, it wasn't feasible. So I kind of got out of the game for a while, but last month actually at the cooker was the first time I'd done a set in months.
Really?
Yeah. I'm always writing.
Okay.
I'm always writing new material, and and rehearsing it, and some, you know, I'll have people listen to it and tell me what works, what doesn't work.
Friends and family listen to it and see if they like it or not.
Yeah, and I run it by them, and sometimes they have good suggestions, and sometimes they don't.
Was that your first time at the pressure cooker?
No, I had done, I think, the first pressure cooker.
That was almost a year and a half ago.
I did the first one, and that wasn't so much comedy. That was more of a story. It was a funny story. But I had been to other pressure cookers, but the way that it was happening then was kind of you put your name on the list when you got there, and so it would get to be midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, and I still hadn't gone, and I had to cut out.
Yeah. One time at the pressure cooker, this is a true story. It got done at 4 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
My friend Kendra, Nikki Romo, and Josie, and Libby, and we all went to Eaton Park, okay? Mm-hmm. And we just rode in their car. And then they drove me back to my car, which is in Highland Square. And at the time, I was living in the Falls, and then I went to drive home. I drove backwards on the Y Bridge.
Oh, my what? God.
I was so tired because it was 6 a.m. in the morning.
The
I
entire
drove
way?
Backwards. And it wasn't until I got to where they intersected, I went up.
How?
It's on my right now.
Did
Uh-oh.
You did not realize you were driving backwards?
Nope.
Nobody coming?
Nope. And it was 6 a.m. in the morning, so nobody was coming.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So, I'm sorry. Yeah. I thought your car was like in reverse.
No.
But like, you just went through the...
that doesn't even make sense.
I don't know. I was just like, that's why I was so confused.
No. Like, I went on the wrong side
of that makes more sense.
Y Bridge. And it wasn't until they intersected that I realized, you know, when you're driving on the normal side, it intersects and it's on the left. Mm-hmm. I'm driving back and all of a sudden I see it come from the right. I go, that's not right. Oh my gosh, I'm on the wrong side of the road. Lord. I was so lucky. There wasn't anybody driving that way.
Well, there's a couple lanes, right?
Right. But that's how the EP cooker used to be. Uh-huh. It used to run till 4 in the morning. And then once they moved it to Pub Rico, it became much more structured.
Yeah, they can't do that anymore.
And they can't.
Pub Rico closes.
Yeah, and I like that. They run at Wandering Aesthetics. I was, you know, I went to the first one that was at Pub Rico where my friend Matt Dolan emceed it, and it was awesome. And then the next one was even better. And then with mine, I think they finally, and this is in, I'm not bragging, but it fell into a really nice flow.
Mm-hmm.
The entire night was. They... You know, you came up, but before you was a musician, and then after you was, I believe, another musician. But then there was Mandy Lee went, I think, in the first set also, another comedian.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just nice because the evening flowed. It had ups and downs. It was funny. It was music. It was stories. It was this. It was somebody pulling their shirt off, whatever it was. And it was just a really good night. And I can't believe that's like the first time you've done comedy. Because you were so good at it.
Oh, thanks. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I said, I've been out of the game for a while. I had that job for a long time, so I hadn't had the opportunity to actually be on the mic. So it was fun to see because that was almost, I'd say, 80% new stuff.
Really?
That I'd never done before. The back end of the set I had done before, like the last 3 minutes. But the first 7 was all brand new stuff.
How long does it take you to sit down and write a 10-minute set? You know, everybody's different when they write comedy.
Yeah, I kind of don't, and maybe this is weird, but I don't like sit down with the goal of like, okay, today I'm going to write 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
More often than not, I'll do certain jokes like over the course of 3 or 4 days and then kind of slam them together and figure out
how to make them,
how to
segue,
right, how each one works into the next one and how to give it some kind of continuity, because I've never been somebody who can just do like nothing but non sequiturs.
Mm-hmm.
Like Anthony Jeselnik does, that's pretty much his style of comedy. It's just
I feel like people who get away with like just doing non sequiturs though already have a huge following. I don't think he would have started out with just non sequiturs all the time.
Yeah. I'm sure. Yeah,
I mean,
I think
like
you're
Jerry
right.
Seinfeld
explain to people who don't understand what non sequitur means.
It's kind of just like they're individual jokes or individual. They're not even really stories because they're usually only one or two lines long. It's almost kind of like an immediate punchline. Like
a Rodney Dangerfield type of guy?
Yeah, Dangerfield.
Mitch Hedberg.
Mitch Hedberg. Mitch Hedberg is probably the best example of non sequiturs because there was not, I mean, he was hysterical, But there was no flow. It was one joke led into a different joke, led into a different joke. It wasn't building. It was just like each joke was a different shot.
I don't really like that.
What, non sequiturs?
Yeah, I don't like that.
It's definitely a style of comedy, and it only works if I think you do it strong, like a Dangerfield, where the punchlines, they're usually like always something to. I love the one guy that he performed at, like the first one at Pub Rico, and he basically did an impersonation of Dangerfield. The punchlines were all about like his wife or women or whatever, and they were.
Sexist?
No, not sexist, but they really, or it was about they were. It was about African American black people. It was about. I can't think of what the word. They were like harsh. They were like
better.
I don't know. I don't know how to explain it, but it was just like the punchline hit and the punchline hit.
Yeah. Okay.
I like. I'm a big fan of Mike Birbiglia.
Yeah.
He has a special on Netflix called My Girlfriend's Boyfriend.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And I love it. It's pretty much like one story, the whole thing. It's got like stories interlaced in it, but it's got one frame narrative throughout the whole special, and it's really
like
good.
A theme.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like a theme. He's like telling a story.
I like that.
But it's got like little jokes and other stories mixed in. I love Mike Birbiglia. He's an awesome
yeah. I think that the non sequitur style a lot of times tends to lend itself to that more kind of controversial or
that's the word I'm looking for. Like controversial. Yeah. Oh gosh, controversial.
About women and black people and
I don't know how else to explain it, but that hits it right there.
Well, like a comedian like Lisa Lampanelli is all, you know, race jokes. I mean, I love her because she takes no prisoners. Everybody's game. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the way if that's your style, I think that's the way you have to do it, because you have to go hard or go home. Because if you only focus on one subset of people, you're going to come off, I think, in a way you don't want to come off. If your jokes are all sexist or your jokes are all
Ted
racial, right? If you're Ted Cruz,
Ted Cruz comedian.
Ted Cruz has his own HBO special.
Oh god!
But like my favorite comedian is Pete Holmes, and he's one of those guys that it's just if you saw him at like an amateur open mic, you would not think he's funny. Like,
really?
Yeah. No, he's more of like crowd participation kind of jokes.
I get that.
And he does some jokes that are like kind of inside jokes.
Does he have an improv background?
I don't know. I like him because he went to school to be a youth pastor.
Right.
And I went to school to be a youth pastor. And so he's sort of like you know, he's more like a mystic now.
Right.
And I'm sort of a mystic now too. But
my
anyway.
That's a good question. My favorite, I like John Mulaney. I like his.
Oh, yeah.
He is an amazing writer. His jokes, I love, like, he could write books and I would listen and I would read, and I hate to read books and I'd read his books. He's just, I love how he writes. Mm-hmm. How about yours, Shane? Which will be your favorite? If you could name one.
I've always kind of, the way I grew up, and I don't know if it's a gay thing or what it is, but I was always more drawn to the women.
Ooh, okay.
Because I mean, everybody says, you know, it's
women
hard.
Aren't funny.
Right, women aren't funny, and women have it so much harder. I don't think that's true. But like, I always gravitated to like Margaret Cho I think is really hysterical. More lately, I think Amy Schumer more recently is a genius.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who else I watched. I watched early like Ellen DeGeneres and Brett Butler. And
I like Ellen. Sometimes on Pandora has comedy specials on there as well as music. And I'll type in I like Tosh also. I like
Tosh is great. Yeah.
I like listening to Tosh. And then it's so funny because it randomizes and it gives you other people that are like in the same genre.
Yeah.
And it's always Ellen, Tosh, Louis C.K. and Bill Burr.
Oh, did you guys
see? Why is Ellen in there?
Did you guys see Louis C.K.'s SNL monologue?
Yes. I thought it was hysterical.
We could talk about this. Yeah, it was hilarious, and people were like, "Oh no, you went too far." Did you see it, Ryan?
I think I did.
It was just this past Saturday.
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I saw him. Was he on the 40th special, or was he on there right before the 40th special?
Yeah, he had one past episode that he hosted. And I think he was on the 40th.
It was the finale. It was the season finale.
Okay, I was in New York, and we watched it. I didn't like go down to 30 Rock and watch it, but we watched it in a hotel room in Jersey, and we thought it was so cool. We were watching the SNL finale in Jersey. We can see New York, whatever, shite lights and stars. It was so cool. But I remember his monologue then. I haven't heard of his new one. What did he say?
I
love Louis.
Okay, C. I think his material would have been great at like an open mic. But it was a bad crowd for what he said. It was hilarious. It was good. It was probably like progressive that he said it.
What did he say?
He was he made some race jokes about how he was like minimally racist. But the most controversial part was at the end when he was talking about child molestation.
Okay. And he has touched on that stuff in his own specials, but to do it on SNL,
yeah.
I don't know if that's the right crowd.
It's a more diverse crowd.
Yeah.
But
what do you
think?
I don't
know. We got to loosen up. I think we should loosen up.
I mean, for me, comedy is comedy. I mean, I think nobody's ever going to find everything that you say is funny.
Right.
I mean,
you're never
going
to hit every statistic.
Right. I think humor is how you get through things. I mean, I remember. This is maybe a harsh example, but I mean, I remember after September 11th, Joan Rivers was making 9/11 jokes 4 days later. Mm-hmm. And whether you thought that was politically correct or not,
she was trying to make the best out of it.
Trying to make the best out of it. And I think that's how you get through a lot of things that are terrible, things that are horrible. If you can laugh at them.
Yeah,
it makes
it's almost like you own it,
right? You own
in a
it,
weird
it,
way.
It
not
makes
that we
it
own.
Easier.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, I understand that.
I think that goes back to like our primal instincts too, because like when monkeys get scared, they like smile and laugh and stuff. I don't know. I'm talking about like evolution and stuff. I don't know.
But like, I mean, and again, maybe a horrible example, and I apologize, but like everybody. And not just comedians, but I think everybody in their life has made an Anne Frank joke.
Oh, yes.
I mean,
Dead Authors Podcast has an Anne Frank episode.
Yeah.
So funny.
And obviously, a terrible thing that happened.
I've made I've made horrible Holocaust jokes before to my friends.
But it's a...
Didn't even realize it was like that bad until I did Anne Frank, and I was like, oh my gosh.
But I think it takes the sting out of it, I think. Obviously, we all know 9/11 was horrible. Obviously, we all know the Holocaust was horrible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you can either perseverate.
Anne Frank was horrible.
Right. Horrible human. Terribly racist. But
she still, everybody was black.
Right, everybody. But it takes the sting out of it. And it instead of perseverating on the horribleness of it and thinking nothing but, oh, God, that was awful, 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 awful. If you can make fun of it, I think it makes it. Like I said, easier to deal with, easier to digest.
I think there are always millions of more people who are saying that's offensive than there are people who are saying I'm offended by that. I know I mean, we're all like white privileged dudes.
Yeah.
I mean, so
No. I totally hear what you. I did read an article about that. I probably won't be able to find it. I'll look for it though. Mm-hmm. But it's. I think actually you talked about it too, where. In your blog, Ben Blogs, by the way, about how we're we're non-racists in a racist culture.
Yeah, it's systemic racism. So it's like racism that pervades everything, and we cannot get away from it. And I think that's sort of what Louis C.K. was talking about in his monologue, where people were like, "I'm offended by that." You're not offended by that.
Right.
You're white.
Offended by that.
I don't know.
Right.
But
stop trying to stick up for every black guy out there. You're not black. You can't say that kind of.
Yeah.
Things.
I mean, but Louis C.K. he was sort of saying, you know, I'm racist in these small ways, and so are you, and so was everybody else, and black people,
that's
white
very progressive,
people,
and that's why I love Louis C.K.
Mm-hmm.
I love one of his shows he opened, and he goes, I forget the numbers, he goes, there's 10,000 of you in this stadium right now, in this audience. Statistically speaking, two of you will not make it till Christmas. Thank you for coming to my show. And I was like, oh my gosh, that was amazing.
Well, and I think that's part of his genius, is he puts it back on everybody. Like, yeah. you were saying about his monologue. He was saying we're all racist, not just white people, but, you know, and not overtly racist, but subtly and even without thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, that's kind of a blanket statement, but... Again, I think people, in terms of comedy, I think people who say they're offended or that's offensive, I think that happens most often when it's truth that's pointed out.
Oh.
I mean, if you make fun, you know, like if you make fun of a group like the Westboro Baptist Church.
Well, it's such an easy target.
Right. They're an easy target, but, you know, people who think along their viewpoint are like, well, how dare you... you know, make fun of somebody's beliefs and everybody's entitled to their beliefs. Yes, they are. But, like, the fact that they stand outside, you know...
Funerals.
Military funerals and hold those signs, at its core, it's horrible.
Right.
But it's also kind of funny that they think they're having any real impact
right.
on the way that people are thinking. So, again...
Well, they just want attention. I've blogged about Westboro Baptist Church, too. Yeah. And the fact that we talk about them is just we're feeding them.
Right.
Right.
The fact that we talk about them is just giving them
what
they
want. It's
almost
like the bully in high school.
Yeah.
Right.
My mother would always say, ignore him. Just
right.
Don't let him see you get angry. Who cares what he says?
Mm-hmm. Right. Westboro Baptist Church is the crying kid in the corner throwing a tantrum that we keep shouting at to shut up, but it's just making things worse.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. If and like you said, feeding into the frenzy and talking about it every time they do something crazy, you know, gives them power,
media,
gives them a foothold.
News.
What I thought was really interesting, though, was this was maybe 6 or 7 years ago. The head, I think, of the Shirley Phelps, who is Fred Phelps' daughter, who he founded the church, and she's sort of the proxy now.
Oh,
I think
she's so terrible.
She's an awful person, and she's hideous, which has no bearing on her at all. But she's
no, like, her attitude might have made her look less
more,
than
yeah, less
amazing.
Than attractive. But what I thought was interesting is she was on Fox News, which I certainly don't take any pains to watch regularly. But
Fox News.
But she was on there, and the anchor, the Fox News anchor, went after her.
Really?
And was just like, you have no points. You're blatantly just full of hate. Like, you know, and went after them for picketing military funerals and picketing kids' funerals. And, and I was really surprised, because it's not something I would expect from that channel.
Fox News is you know, definitely not unbiased and what do they say? Balanced and
focused,
fair and balanced.
Fair and balanced.
But they're not Westboro Baptist Church, you know?
Right.
That's a little bit insane. So okay, wait, you remember that first question that we asked Benjamin, that we said, oh, we're gonna ask this to every one of our guests.
We forgot guest
every single time.
Then.
I think it sort of like trickled in to each interview. Why Akron? Why are you in Akron?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great... That should have been the first question.
Yeah.
Well, I've grown up in the area my entire life. I live in Stowe, so it's not terribly far from Akron. But I think what's interesting now is Akron is sort of going through a transformation. There's stuff like Better Block that's happening. There's, you know... stores going, you know, the new Mustard Seed and whatnot going.
Yes.
Yeah, they just opened.
Yeah, they've really built up, you know, Highland Square in the last couple of years, and I think that's going to become a thing that goes sort of throughout the city. I think there's people who are really, really excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me, at least for a long time, Akron has kind of been in the shadow of Cleveland. Cleveland's been doing all these great things, not to take anything away from them, but they've, you know, really sort of transform that city too, and it's slowly become sort of a cultural hotspot.
Yeah.
You look at, you know, lists of places to visit and whatnot, and Cleveland, you know, climbing.
Outside of Broadway on New York, Cleveland is the second biggest, has the second biggest theater district.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right, and they're you know, finally starting, I think, to sort of
get
push,
that.
Right, push that heavier and rebuild that area. And so I think Akron is now starting to catch up.
It's going through like a weird transition.
Right.
It's almost like it's growing up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think for a long time, there's a lot of abandoned buildings. There's a lot of space that just isn't being developed. And now I think people are taking the initiative mm-hmm. to do that. So it's nice to be part of a community, even though I don't live directly in the community. It's nice to be in proximity to a community that seems to me to be starting to value things more, like economic development, like the arts. Akron has kind of exploded, I think, in the last 5 years in terms of arts. I mean, we're lucky in Northeast Ohio to have as many outlets as we do as far as like community theater. I kind of don't know anywhere else outside of New York or Los Angeles that has.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, my buddy was going to move to Tampa, and I asked him, I said, is there community theater in Tampa? He said maybe, and I thought maybe Tampa's not the best example because you got Universal, Disney, and all that down there. You got a bunch of artistic people. Probably there are community theaters there, but if you move to like some random place, Cincinnati, would it have community theater?
I don't think it's nearly as prevalent. I don't know for sure, but I wouldn't imagine so. I think it's kind of beneficial that Akron is sort of where the distance we are away from Cleveland, because Cleveland obviously has Playhouse Square. They do have a lot of community theater up there,
right.
But in this area, I mean, there are so many, and there's new ones being formed all the time, and artists who are starting, you know, either very small or kind of doing their own things. So the opportunity is incredible. Like I said, I don't know of anywhere else, and I've traveled a decent amount in the United States, and I just don't see it. So I think we're really fortunate.
Do you think it has something to do with what you also said about the proximity to Cleveland and the theater district up there? The Black Keys, that they're from Akron, that LeBron James. Do you think that all these big name people coming out of Akron, people are starting to notice it also?
Yeah, I think it's becoming more of culturally relevant. You know, LeBron, certainly the Black Keys, I think, have been great for Akron. You know, Chrissy Hynde is from Akron.
Sean Porter,
who I went to school with, actually.
Yeah. I think you might know my cousin, Chad George. Do you know the Georges?
Chad George. Do you know what year he graduated?
2008?
No, I
any
graduated.
Any relation to boy?
To boy George. I graduated in 02.
Sorry. Oh,
so
okay,
I wouldn't have known him. But
You know Sean Porter. My friend
Sean
Emily
Porter.
Knows Sean Porter because before he went to Stowe, I believe he went to the Falls, I think, for a little bit.
Yeah,
and that's where he met. But she's always telling me, she gets, like, they're good friends.
Mm-hmm.
He flies her out to his fights,
oh, nice.
Wherever he fights, and she's not like the ringside girl, but she's like in the press box with all of his entourage watching the fights.
Who's Sean Porter?
He's a boxer.
Yeah, from Stowe.
Yeah, he was a freshman my senior year, I believe. He graduated with my brother.
Okay.
And my brother is really good friends with him.
Okay.
So that's, I kind of know him by proxy.
Did he get in fights in high school?
No, I mean he was a youth boxer. He did youth fighting events, and he always got attention for those. But I don't remember him getting in fights. People
probably
were probably afraid to get in fights with him.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So
that's true.
We did talk about this. I mean, we just talked about this on our last episode. Akron is, as we like to say, flourishing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Wandering Aesthetics is one new thing that's started up that we're happy to be a part of. I'm going to coin that. But we always joke that this is the Wandering Aesthetics podcast. We love you, Benjamin and Kyle. But anyways, you know, just on Tuesday, they had this new event. Have you heard of the Moth Podcast?
No, I have not.
It's a pod. It's, I believe it started off as a live event that would happen. I think in LA is when it's is where it started.
Probably. It sounds like an LA thing.
And it's where people would get up and tell stories. Now, you get amateurs, and then you get master storytellers where they engage you. Mm-hmm. Then somebody finally recorded it, put it out as a podcast, and now it's like a really big, well-known podcast.
And all the stories are true about the storyteller, too.
So. But, I mean, they can be telling you anything about how they went to the grocery store and they lost their wallet, but they are so good at it, you're like engaged. You want to know what happened to that guy's wallet. But anyways, on Tuesday, Wandering Aesthetics had their first full circle storytelling. And Ben and I went and we were a part of it. We helped run sound. I told a story.
Oh, nice.
But Akron now has its own Moth. That's what I mean. Mm-hmm. It has its own place for storytellers. And it's stuff like that starting to pop up all over the place. Yeah. You're getting comedians. You're getting... the music scene in Akron is exploding.
Incredible. I mean, mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm good friends with Jeff Clem, who is lead singer from Maid Myriad. And they're on their cross-country tour now. They're coming home, I think, this Saturday to do their homecoming show.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and there's so many great bands and musicians in Akron right now. And I think one of the good things, one of the byproducts of there being so much new stuff is things that have been around and have been established are reaping the benefits of people now paying more attention to the Akron area. You know, something like the Ohio Shakespeare Festival, which I don't know how many people know that is
or actually attend.
Right. it's been in Akron this is their 14th year.
Right.
And they're popular and they get great audiences every year, but I think something like that is going to reap the benefits of, oh, well, we should pay more attention to Akron and see what's actually in the area.
And you're involved with that Shakespeare Festival.
Yes. Yeah. I'm involved with OSF. I'm probably going to be stage managing it this summer.
Congratulations.
But thank you.
Pre-congratulations.
Yes. It's incredible. They do it outside in the gardens at Stan Hewitt every year. It's traditional Shakespeare, true to time and period. And, you know, this year they're doing Much Ado About Nothing and Henry
Josh
V.
Whedon.
Yeah, right.
They're doing the Josh Whedon movie?
No. well. But so they're doing a comedy and then they're doing an epic and they've done, you know, incredible battles. They fire real arrows. I heard a rumor there's going to be flame arrows this year.
What?
Where are they shooting arrows? Like across the stage?
Like up,
into the garden?
Up and over.
Killing all the dead plants.
Actually, into the
the field.
Where into like the there's a, like a pond or a fountain there or something, and that's where they're not shooting them at the audience.
I was gonna say
they shoot kind of up
shoot
and
me,
back over
shoot
the set,
me.
Right?
I got an arrow as a souvenir.
Exactly. Sign my arrow.
The flame will never die.
Exactly. But I mean, they do great things, and I think something like that, or something like. As big as they are, you know, something like Weather Vane, I think, will reap the benefits of this new stuff and people paying
attention.
I mean,
yeah, we have our own, professional community theater, mm-hmm. Weather Vane. And Weather Vane has been around for at least 15 years? It's got to be.
Oh, Weather Vane's much older than that. Weather Vane's
well, the new building.
Yeah, the new building, I think maybe 15 to 20 years.
Yeah. But besides that, you are correct. It's been here for a while, and it's... I mean, we could have our own little theater district. I mean, it is really cool, and a bunch of different neighborhoods are starting to pop up and flourish and gain the funding that they need and construction crews, and they're fixing it up. And like down in the valley, I was, you know, I'm much younger, not much, but I'm younger than like some of the guys at the electric pressure cooker. And they've told me that area down there used to like be a joke. No one wanted to go down into the valley. It was just crappy bars and no place good to get food. And nowadays, I mean, they have like their own little bar district where they had like a bar hopping official like bar hopping night going on where you could bar hop from all the from the different. I forget what it was. I think it was for St. Patty's Day. That's what it was for.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, it's and most of the stuff here in Akron is not terribly far from each other. You know, you've got Weather Vane in the Valley, and then if you go straight up Portage Path, you get to Coach House, which is behind the old First Grace United Church of Christ, and that is one of the oldest continuously operating community theaters in the country.
What's it called?
Coach House Theater. It sits.
Do you know when it started?
88 years ago.
Wow.
What what's cool. the next show they're doing? You know?
The Foreigner. I'm actually involved with that right now.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. I'm at the Coach House. That's
Coach House. Yeah. The Foreigner. We run through June 7th, Thursday, Friday, Saturday,
Sunday.
Yeah.
Give us all the deets.
Yeah. It's a comedy by Larry Hsu, who also wrote the play The Nerd. If anybody's familiar with that.
No.
but it's hysterical. We've gotten two incredible reviews so far, from the Beacon Journal and the West Side Leader. We run through June 7th, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, curtain is at 8, Sundays, okay. curtain is at 2:30.
Tickets are like, what, 10 bucks?
The adult tickets, I think, are 21, and youth tickets, I think, are 12 or 13.
Okay.
But it's absolutely worth it. The shows there are incredible. It's a smaller house, so it only seats about, like, 95 people.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
But what they're able to do in that space is really, really phenomenal.
And you're the stage manager.
Stage managing and then running lights and sound. I do want to give a shout out to my assistant stage manager, Nancy Cates, who is one of the artistic directors. There's a lot of food in this show, so she takes great pains to prepare the food for me every single night.
Really?
Yes.
What food is in this show?
It's a lot of breakfast. So there's eggs and grits and juice and and everything, you know, is real. They don't skimp on, like, we're just going to throw some paper in a pan and it looks like grits from far away.
And then you have to eat the paper.
Right. Like, they don't skimp. Everything is true to form, and everything, you know, it's set in 1983 and it looks like a 1983 set. It's not let's just put random stuff together and you can just suspend your belief.
Mm-hmm. That's really cool.
Yeah, and the director is Terry Bergler, who's the co-artistic director at Coach House.
Have you been involved with them before? Is this your first show?
No, I've been involved with them for about 2 or 3 years. Okay. I've done mostly backstage stuff, stage managing and running the lights and the sound, but I was on stage earlier this year for the first time.
Your debut?
Yeah, my onstage Coach House debut.
My debut.
It was in a show called Three Men on a Horse, which is a 30s comedy.
Okay.
It was a tiny little part, but it was so much fun because they have a lot of the same people who are in each of the shows.
Yeah.
Sort of their own, not all the same people in every show, but they do have kind of a little stock company. So it's nice, since I've worked with them before on projects, to be a part of the ensemble.
Did that give you the acting bug? Do you like working? You know, some people, they'd rather be behind the curtain than in front of it.
I like both. I've been acting since I was 6, so it's something I've done for a long time. But it was nice to get on stage there, even though it was for, you know, a little bit and a little part. Anything you can add to your resume, is a good experience.
So. You know, let's get back to the comedy aspect.
Yes.
I wanted to definitely ask about upcoming shows and stuff, but, you know, we talked about how you you had been off for a while, and then you started doing it again. The EPC was your first time back, and about, you said, like 2 years or so?
I've been doing it for about 2 years, but that was my first time on a mic in probably 7 or 8 months.
Okay. Are you going to go forward at full steam, or are you going to take it slow again? I don't know why it took me so long to say full steam. I was trying to think of a better way to say it.
I definitely want to do more mics in the area.
Cool.
And that's, you know, you have to earn your stripes just like you do with anything else. You can't just walk into a club and be like, I'm going to do a half hour.
Right.
No, you're going to do 5 minutes, and you're going to be off at minute number 5.
We have a long stick with a hook on it. We're going to drag you off the stage.
Well, at you know, Funny Stop, where I've done most of my stuff, they're very strict. You get the light at 4, and if you go over 5, they'll just cut the mic.
Okay.
So it's taught me, and it's good discipline to you know, you have to have your material in that time frame.
Did you take any classes or read any books, or how did you develop your writing style?
I've been a big reader, not necessarily of, like, comedy my whole life, but I've always been a big reader, and I'd read comedy books here and there, nothing like how to do stand-up.
Right.
I think most of my inspiration came from watching other comics.
I think a lot of musicians would say they've learned how to play is by watching. A lot of actors
have learned
by watching movies, and I would say the same thing with comedians. A lot of you watch to see how their style is.
Right, and you kind of get to develop your own, you know.
You adapt from it.
Right, you see what you like, what you don't necessarily like, what you think might work for you. And you steal. You don't really steal.
No.
But you keep little bits with you. Mm-hmm. And it lets you develop your own style. And I think the more, for me at least, the more comedy I watch, the better.
Do you find yourself like up late at night just watching comedy specials?
Oh yeah. I mean, I've watched.
Do you watch your own?
I've never listened
to your own or anything?
No. I've never recorded myself. There was a teeny little bit of me. I think somebody made a compilation video from the last cooker.
Yeah, I remember seeing it. Yeah.
I was on there for maybe like 45 seconds.
And you were like, skip.
Yeah, I can't watch myself or listen to myself, really. I mean, I'll listen to this. But
I feel like that's one way you can improve. I mean, I know it sucks. I hate listening to myself or watching myself or anything.
Am I just
like
egotistic, or I love listening to myself? I'm a little bit narcissistic. Nah, I love listening to my beautiful voice.
People are different. Anyway, we should start wrapping this up.
Yeah, let's definitely.
Yeah.
But first, I wanted to plug Wandering Aesthetics. They're doing the play reading series.
Yes.
If you're listening to this on Monday, then it will be tomorrow, Tuesday, the 26th. It's at 7 p.m. It's at Wadworth Shelter in San Run Metro Park.
Also, I want to promote on the 26th. Nope, that's wrong. On the, what is that? It is the 26th. I was right. Matt Farkas, who is another comedian who...
Yeah, he was at the Cooker.
Who was at the Cooker. He has his special at the Empire Concert Club in Talmadge. And it's... Matt Farkas presents Lost in the Friend Zone, and it is, I'm looking for a time on here. I think
it's at 8.
Yeah, let me look. I'll go with what you say. I don't see a time on here, so let's say at 8. But there is a Facebook event. You can find that. And then you have some upcoming shows, and go ahead and plug the Coach House show again.
Yeah, my next,
so people can get the dates out.
My next comedy show is I'm like 98% sure I'm doing the Cooker tomorrow, so I'll be there. And then June 22nd, I will be at, or June 20th, I'm sorry. June 20th, I will be at Club Cocktails in Cleveland, which is a gay bar. So that doesn't mean you can't come. But if
just don't wear a red leather
right.
Michael Jackson
don't,
jacket.
Don't wear any leather. Trust me, you're gonna pick up the wrong.
Never wear leather.
No, not to
unless
that
you're
bar.
A biker.
Right. So that's gonna be kind of a night of comedy and songs and whatnot. Foreigner at Coach House runs through June 7th, Thursday, Friday, Saturdays. Mike's curtains are at 8, Sundays at 2:30. You can go to coachhousetheater.com to get your tickets. I also want to plug real quick, if I can.
No, go ahead.
Ohio Shakespeare Festival.
Yeah.
They open their season July 2nd with Much Ado About Nothing through July 19th, and then the second show, Henry V, runs July 30th through August 16th. Takes place at Stan Hewitt outside in the gardens. It's really fun. You can go to OhioShakespeareFestival.com for tickets. It's a brand new website. And you can call for tickets from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. So it's much more open. And then they're doing a new thing this year. They're doing educational weekend workshops for students.
I saw that.
So they're doing a monologue workshop, a workshop on magical fantasy scenes, a workshop on fighting and swordplay, which is going to be really, really cool. And then one on physical comedy. So you can look all that up on the website, and they give you the phone number to call if you want to register for those.
And also, what's your Twitter address?
My Twitter,
so people can follow you.
Twitter
address.
Handle.
I'm sorry.
My Twitter handle.
I'm not hip.
I'm not on Twitter as much as I should be, but it's @twawkwardness.
Okay.
So awkwardness with a TW in front of it.
Okay.
And I don't have a professional Facebook page yet, but I'm hoping to set one up in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Also, we'll plug the 29th of this month, Copper Pennies, which is Ben and mine's band. We will be playing at the Rubber Ducks game from 5:30 to 6:30.
Oh, nice.
And then on the 30th, we will be playing at the open house for Atkins Center and for art and music and performance. It's a new kind of school that's popping up. It's really cool. They're setting it up. It's over on West Market Street. I think it's an old church that they're using.
Okay.
Bad News Benny has been posting pics like crazy. but I'm excited to announce this, ladies and gentlemen. Next weekend will be Copper Penny's 1 year anniversary.
Oh, nice.
It will be our 1 year. Thank you. It's exciting. 1 year ago, we went from learning three songs for an EP Cooker and Kirsten Nicole going, do you guys want a full 30-minute set in a week? And we went, sure. And in a week, we learned seven more songs.
Oh, wow.
And since then, we've upgraded. We have 32 songs on our set list. And we got big plans in the future. But we're excited, and we want to thank you to everybody who's helped us with that. And we want to say thank you to Shane for coming on tonight.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
This was a great... I love talking with comedians or people who understand comedy about comedy. Because, you know, you can always talk to, like, your dad about it. And he's like, I don't think he's funny. But I like talking with people who understand it. And you definitely know what you're talking about.
Oh, well, thank you. I try.
All right. So, as always, thank you, fellow soaps. We're not getting soapers.
Whatever. We'll figure it out.
Soapsties.
Don't drop the soap.
All right. You can follow us on
Instagram.
Twitter and Instagram at Spoils of Akron Pod. No, Spoils of Akron. At Spoils of Akron. Find us on Facebook. Find us on iTunes. Mm-hmm. Thank you to the library. Thank you, Chris Miller.
Akron Digital Media Center.
Brian, what's your call?
Thank you and have an Akron day. Goodbye. That was great.